This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here we go. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate, hour after hour, banger after banger. Glad to have you, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you. You want to be a part of the show? Now is your opportunity to do so. We'd love to have you. 844-326-3663 is the number. We're good. We're back, baby. We are so bleeping back, y'all.
If you're watching and you haven't made your way to Texas yet, here's how you do that. Horns down.
That is, I believe that is hate speech.
Just trying to help the Clemson fans out.
I believe that is hate speech.
It is Christmas season.
Oh, we're back. We're back. Feels good to be back. Feels good to be back. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about on the show today. A lot of things we are getting through. We got your water cooler cheat sheet coming up here in just mere seconds from right now. We're going to get into the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know. To end this hour, coming up at 8:40, the iconic Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, is going to join us here on the radio broadcast. We'll get his thoughts on the first round of the college football bracket. In between, right in the middle, I'm going to give you some thoughts on a couple of games in round number one, including Clemson v. Texas, Indiana taking on Notre Dame. We've got a good set of four games coming up, one on Friday, three on Saturday. Don't call me on Saturday from noon until I go night-night. I'm busy. Don't holler at me. I don't want to talk to you. I want to watch football and do nothing else. We are running out of football. So don't text me. Unless you're bleeding. You can text me if you're bleeding.
You do have plans Saturday evening. You haven't forgotten about that, right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I do have plans Saturday night. It's on the calendar. It's on my Google calendar.
Okay, because yeah. You sometimes, you double book. Because you're a busy guy and, we have something major planned and you're involved in it. And I would hate for you to not,
The Upstate Pulse Holiday Extravaganza Spectacular Festival of Friendship and Fun is 7 to 9 on our brother station, WORD. And yes, your boy is not only going to be a part of it, but got a little something special planned for the people. A little something special planned for the people.
I hope it's amazing.
It's going to be great. All right. We got a lot we need to get to, but it is 7:03 in the morning. You, my dear friends, are getting up, getting dressed, getting ready for work. And what a day of work you've got lined up ahead of you. You got so many things you got to do. But here's the fun part. At some point, you're going to have the opportunity to step away, to take a break, a well-deserved break, a break that, by the way, it is empirically determined that sporadic breaks throughout the day make you a better, more productive employee. So tell your manager that if he wants your best effort, you got to take a break. You got to walk down the hall. You got to go talk to Susan. Susan's great.
I do believe it's also state law that you got to take a break.
It is, but you know how people are.
Yeah, I do.
You know how people are. Well, if you're not working until literally the second that you die, you're a bad person. Nah, take a break. Go talk some football, all right? And if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on. You got to know what's going on. And if you got to know what's going on, well, you're in the right place because you need this. is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this a.m. and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let us dive right into Water Cooler Cheat Sheet item number one. The NBA Cup came to its conclusion last night. The NBA Cup championship took place in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the Milwaukee Bucks, led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had an absolute banger of a day, win the NBA Cup. 97-81 was your final in this one. Giannis and Damian Lillard, along with Torian Prince, Brooke Lopez, and Andre Jackson Jr., all had phenomenal nights. 26 out of Giannis. He also added 19 rebounds, 10 assists, a pair of steals, and three blocks. If you don't think the fellas care about winning the NBA Cup, I point to the extra effort put in last night by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had one of the best games that he has had in any game all season long. 26, 19, and 10, a triple-double effort. You got 23 out of Dame Lillard. You got 13 out of Brooke Lopez. The Bucks shot 42%. Maybe more impressively, 42.5% from three-point lane. On the other side of it, the Thunder, not their best effort. 21 out of SGA, 18 out of Jalen Williams, 16 out of Hartenstein. No other Thunder player was in or even close to double digits. You ended up with a grand total of 15 bench points out of the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. They shot 33.7% from the floor, but were 5 of 32 from the three-point line last night.
Got to keep shooting until they drop, apparently.
Well, it's kind of one of those catch-22s in basketball that you build a team to be able to shoot. And if they're not dropping and the lead builds up as it did in the first half for Milwaukee, it gets to a point where you can't come back without the three. So now you have to keep shooting. You shot the three, it didn't work. And because you shot the three and it didn't work, now you have to shoot the three or else you're not coming back in this contest. You got to figure out, why is there a lid on the bucket and how do we lift it? And it's kind of one of those spots that sometimes you just got to keep cracking away. You just got to shoot until you see one go down and the lid comes off. And unfortunately for the Thunder last night, it did not. Honestly, the statistically speaking, the numbers weren't super far off in terms of every other statistic. 52 boards for the Bucks, 43 for the Thunder. 25 assists. So Milwaukee was moving the ball around very, very well. But there were more blocks for Oklahoma City. There were fewer turnovers by Oklahoma City. There were fewer fouls against Oklahoma City. Like, it wasn't a bad game. It really was very simple that the shots weren't falling for the Thunder like they ordinarily do, and they were for the Bucks. So the NBA Cup goes to the Milwaukee Bucks, 97-81. They get it done last night. Let's go to item number two. Quarterback change. Michael Big Penix Energy Jr. is going to be stepping into the QB1 role for the Atlanta Falcons starting this weekend when the Falcons take on the New York Giants on Sunday. The Falcons did win the game against the Raiders 15-9 on Monday night, but as you all know, because you're all very intelligent people who know ball, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. The Atlanta Falcons won this game despite Kirk Cousins, not because of him. 11 of 17 for 112 yards with a touchdown and an interception. Now, that may not even sound all that tragic in a game Atlanta won, but it is more about where that stacks up. Atlanta, in their last five games, is 1-4 with this win over the 2-win Las Vegas Raiders being the only W on the books. But then you dive into Kirk Cousins' numbers. In those five games, Kirk Cousins has one touchdown and 9 interceptions. He has a dozen fumbles this year. He is tied for the most fumbles by a quarterback in the NFL, tied with Baker Mayfield. But here's the thing. I'm not mad at Baker, the touchdown maker, for his having a dozen fumbles. Why? Because Baker, the touchdown maker, also has about 11 plays where he has made something happen with his legs. He has gotten out and made something happen. He's a guy who plays outside the pocket almost as much as he plays in it. Kirk Cousins is a 41-year-old quarterback who ain't got the legs to do that. If he's getting fumbled, it's because the pocket's collapsing around him and there's nothing he can do about it. And here's the thing. I can't blame it on the O-line like I can with some quarterbacks, because it is the same OL that was playing earlier in the year when the Falcons ran up 7 wins in their first, 11 games? Nothing's changed except Kirk Cousins' play going downhill. And if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you are aware that Rob Brown told you this was the inevitable conclusion. Kirk Cousins ain't him. I love Kirk. He's me if I was an NFL quarterback, 40 years old, loves Kirklands and Costco, but he's not the guy. He was made to look like the guy because Minnesota built a monster talent set around him. He came to Atlanta. The wheels have come off the bus, and now the Rook gets his chance.
What if they're worse? You're going to say it doesn't matter if they're worse? You're in the hunt to still win the South. You're replacing the quarterback, and you get worse? What then?
I mean, being worse means they go from 1-4 in the last five to 0-5 in the last five.
Yeah.
If you're playing at that rate, the playoffs are already out of reach. It doesn't matter. If they get worse, they don't make the playoffs. If they stay the same, they don't make the playoffs. But Kirk Cousins has had 5 weeks where he's been on alert that he might lose his job. 5 weeks. And he has not gotten better in those 5 weeks. So when you're at a spot where you're a game back, you have arguably a tougher road to the playoffs than Tampa Bay does right now, but you do hold a tiebreaker over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm going to make the change just to see if it's the spark.
But if
because
you're,
1-4 in the last five with a 1-9 TD to interception ratio ain't it.
If you're Tampa Bay, you're celebrating right now because Atlanta just gave up. Atlanta just gave you the South.
No, they didn't. What are you talking about?
They absolutely did, because they decided to go to a rookie when they're in the hunt to win the South.
They are 1-4 in the last five.
They gave up.
1-4.
They gave up.
No, they did not. They're doing quite the opposite.
You should be celebrating that they gave up because you don't like Atlanta.
It is not giving up. You're just wrong about that. They are not giving up, quite the opposite. They are looking and going, we're 1-4. If we were 3-2 in the last five.
At the end of a season, you go to a rookie quarterback, you're giving up. In any other situation, that team has given up. They're looking to the future, which means the now is over.
So
the now is over.
Does a team that starts a quarterback in week one that's a rookie, is that team giving up before the season even starts?
No, they're not.
And, okay, so what the hell is the difference?
What you're saying doesn't make sense.
What the hell is the difference?
The difference is, anytime we see a team give up on a quarterback near the end of the season, what they're saying is, this season is over, we're looking to the future.
Are they giving
so
up?
So they give up on the South.
Are they?
I can't believe you can't see this.
No, you're wrong, dude.
I'm absolutely.
Are they giving up on the season, or are they giving up on Kirk Cousins?
This is the one I'm the most right about.
Are they giving up on a season, or are they giving up on Kirk Cousins?
They're giving up on both.
No, they're not.
They're
giving up on Kirk Cousins while recognizing we are one game off the pace.
We're looking to the future. We don't care about the now.
No team.
If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm pretty upset about that.
I'm not. I'm dancing.
Yeah, but you hate the Falcons.
Yes, I do. They are one game off of play. No team in the NFL is giving up one game out of a playoff spot.
They give up.
That's a dumb thing.
They give up. They're looking towards the future, and they're saying, we don't care about this season. It's so obvious.
Lonzo is playing 1-4, one touchdown to 9 interceptions. Kirk Cousins, a good, strong decision to you.
They just
gave up. Is that a good idea, yes or no?
They gave up.
Is it a good idea, yes or no?
Did they give up, yes or no?
No. No.
Well, you're wrong.
Objectively, no.
They give up on the season.
They have not.
It's sad.
They are
looking. Having a chance. If it was your team doing this, you'd be ticked off. You'd be ticked off saying, okay, why are we not trying to win?
If my quarterback was 1-4 with a 1-9 touchdown to interception ratio, I'd call and bench his ass myself. If Derek Carr goes 1-4 with a 1-9 touchdown ratio, I will bench him myself. For anybody, give me Jake Haener over what Kirk Cousins is doing right now. Give me Spencer Rattler. All right, item number three is that South Carolina knocked off Clemson last night in basketball in overtime.
Wow, we're just going to go past that. That's a major
thing. I'm not going to go past
that. Number,
number
25
I'm going to come back to that, but you said one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard you say on the radio a minute ago. I had to address it.
Not true.
It absolutely is. Texter said, Lonzo, what are you smoking, man? Thank you. I mean, nothing is the answer, but
all right,
you could have fooled some people.
I'm glad that you're listening, Texter. You also are wrong.
1-4, one touchdown, 9 interceptions. If I came in here and did one good show
a week.
Both
hands on the wheel, Joe.
And did the in the other 4 days of the week, I just came in here and said the F-bomb a bunch of times, I'd also get benched permanently.
Well, you're thinking it right now, and you shouldn't because you're not thinking through my point, but that's fine.
No, I have thought through your point. Your point's bad. It's wrong. Love you. It's a bad point.
Your point is wrong.
It's a bad point. 1-9 touchdown to interception ratio. You're getting benched for that. If you caught 1 out of 9 times that I cussed on the radio, you get fired too. That's how it works.
You are due, and you're pretty angry today.
The only times I've cussed on the radio have been when I mispronounced the words that mean boat. All right, I've never dropped an F-bomb on the show. I'm good like that.
I'm working on it.
I'm
today,
a professional.
Though, apparently,
you really are. This takes terrible.
It's not. It's
back after this.
Not.
Talk some college football next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, I was going to talk college football here, but we got Denton Day coming up in the next segment. The host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. I've got to get back to this debate we were just having a second ago. Kirk Cousins benched. Michael Penix Jr. will make his first NFL start for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend when they take on the New York Giants. The Atlanta Falcons are one game off the lead in the NFC South. They only need to tie the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they have the tiebreaker over Tampa. So a tie between those two teams in the record would also lead to Atlanta winning the NFC South and getting an opening round home game in the NFL playoffs. The debate is basically boiled down to this. Lonzo says that this is a sign that Atlanta's giving up on the season. We're prepping for the future. We're giving up on the season. I say the exact opposite. This is a last-ditch effort to save the season. This is a last-ditch effort to make the playoffs. You are one game out with a tiebreaker. So it's not even like one game out and you need 1.5. This is one game. You need to tie Tampa. All you've got to do is finish with an identical record and you win the division. So, making a switch away from someone in Kirk Cousins. And again, I love Kirk Cousins as a dude. He's a goofy, nerdy bro just like us. We love Kirko on the show. I love that he is a Kohl's guy. So am I. I love that he's a Costco bro. So am I. I love that his entire closet is full of clothes that his wife picked out for him. So is mine, with the exception of my dope hockey jersey collection. I love Kirk. But the reality is, in the last 5 games, Kirk Cousins is 1-4 with 1 touchdown and 9 interceptions. Kirk Cousins has 12 fumbles on the season. He is tied for the lead with Baker Mayfield, a quarterback who is known for not just playing outside of the pocket almost as much as he plays in it, but is also known for being the guy that has been under the gun late in the fourth quarter and having to make plays to bail his team. And how many big-time fourth-quarter plays does Baker Mayfield have on the season? I haven't counted, but the answer is a lot of them. A lot of them. So I genuinely don't understand, and I'm going to do something that I rarely do. Lonzo, I am going to sit back because I want to give you all the time that you need to explain to me how you arrived at the conclusion that this is Atlanta punting on the season and not going, our quarterback stinks and we're not dead yet.
All right, this is pretty easy. So the Falcons are 7-7. That's the definition of mid. Here's the thing. if they were going to give up on Kirk Cousins, they could have done it a long time ago because he didn't just suddenly start playing bad. He's been playing mediocre to bad football the entire season, and they've stuck with him. If you're going to bench him, you do it in the middle of the season because you look and go, okay, he hasn't recovered from his injury. Maybe he was overhyped. Maybe he duped us. We messed up, but we had a feeling that this might happen, so we drafted a quarterback. We think he's ready, so we're going to go ahead and bench him in the middle of the season instead of keeping going with a guy who's struggling so much. But instead, they waited till the guy actually won the game. As bad as he was, they still won the game. And Rob has said many times that, you know, winning is not a quarterback stat. So they win and lose due to the team, not just one player. And as bad as he was, they were able to get to a stellar 7-7 record. Now, if they were 9-6 or 9-5 rather, and they did this, would you have the same opinion? I don't know if you would or not. It doesn't make sense. You've been a lower to mediocre team the entire season. You bench him in the middle of the season. You don't wait till two games left and a chance to win the division unless you're done with the season and you're moving on and you're looking to next year, and that's what they're doing.
Okay. I would like to respond point by point. I took notes.
Of course you did.
Literally wrote them down. Because I want to address every aspect of your argument here. I am going to treat this as a legitimate argument. Let's start with this. You're 7-7 in your mid. Who cares? Who cares what the record is? You're chasing a playoff spot, not a record. Okay? There is only one time that the record matters for you, which is, are you chasing the one seed? It matters to Detroit. It matters to Philly. It matters to Minnesota. But when it comes to a divisional spot, all that matters is you get in. So I don't care if your record is 7-7 and you're gunning for a 9-win season because 9 gets you in, as we thought, both thought that it would when the NFC South started. Because here's the reality. You can't win a Super Bowl if you ain't in the dance. You ain't in the Super Bowl if you can't get a ticket to the dance. So, who cares if you are 5-11 if you're the best team in the division? You just got to get in. Then we'll worry about the playoffs. Number two, Lonzo said you could have given up on Kirk Cousins earlier in the season. I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. There was a point in time earlier in the season where Kirk Cousins was playing above average football. There was a point in the season where Kirk Cousins was playing above average football. There was a point in the season where this team won 5 out of 6 games. They won 6 out of 8 games. And that included a win over the Eagles, one of the only 2 losses they have right now. That included a win over the Buccaneers. The first of 2 wins over the Buccaneers. That they got. Actually, both wins were in that stretch. That included a win over Dallas in that stretch. But since then, after that Cowboys game, Kirk hit a noticeable fall off. Like, noticeable. But nobody in week 6 or 7 or 8 was talking about Michael Penix Jr. We didn't start talking about Michael Penix Jr. until about 2 weeks ago. So you could have switched earlier in the season. I didn't have a reason to. I've been here for 5 years. They haven't had a reason to switch away from me in 5 years. But if I came in here one day and there was a sudden noted drop in performance, I started getting the yellow button pushed a handful of times a day. I was coming in here and not talking about sports at all. I was off in my own little world, whatever. Then at some point you would go, hey, we gotta bench Rob. We got to make the switch. We got to go now. And you wouldn't go, well, you could have done that 2 years ago. Didn't have a need to. Didn't have a reason to. I didn't have to give up on him earlier. He was doing fine. Number 3, hasn't recovered from the injury. Maybe he duped us. I mean, maybe so. But again, up until 5 weeks ago, Kirk Cousins was playing good football. He was playing well north of .500 football. And then he stopped. We can blame it on the injury. We can blame it on a mental block. We can blame it on the coaching. We can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. But there is an empirical, provable, mathematical drop from Kirk Cousins in the first handful of weeks to Kirk Cousins after he lost to the Saints, Broncos, Chargers, and Vikings back to back to back to back to back and needed a damn near miracle to get by the two-win Las Vegas Raiders. So I don't subscribe to that either. And then you're right. I do say it feels like 97 times a week. Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat, but there's another half of that cliche that I put out there, which is you cannot win a game just because of your quarterback. You can absolutely lose because of a quarterback. But that's not just true about quarterbacks. That's true about any player, right? That's true about any player. It's just most true about quarterbacks. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. But you can absolutely lose a game because a quarterback is booty cheeks. And Kirk Cousins, again, a guy I like. A guy that I don't know if Kirk Cousins drinks beer. But a guy I go get a beer with. A guy I want to hang out with. My man, once his retirement plan is be a background actor in local musical theater. Yes! I love this guy. I'd be willing to bet a dollar to a donut. There's a comic book poster somewhere hanging on a wall in Kirk Cousins' house. I like the guy a lot. But you have lost four of your last five. The one win you have is over a two-win Raiders team, and you needed a bailout to get it. And Kirk Cousins is one touchdown to nine picks, and he puts the ball on the ground more than anybody else. You're alive. You're alive. You're not dead yet. If they made this move three games out of the divisional lead with what, three regular season games left to play? If they were down, hell, if they were down two games at this spot, I might even be willing to say, I disagree, but I understand it. All you have to do is win all three and have Tampa Bay lose one. All you have to do is win two and have Tampa Bay lose two. All you got to, lose three. I mean, you're not dead. You just got to tie for the record. That's all you got to do. And if you tie for the record, you go to the playoffs. I don't think... This is kind of like the tanking conversation. I don't think there is a team. By the way, the Bucs have the Cowboys, Panthers, and Saints left to go. So the likelihood Atlanta wins the division ain't great. But
what if they lose every single game?
Atlanta?
Yes.
Then they're out of the playoffs. Are they winning every single game with Kirk Cousins?
I think they have a better chance to win, yes. Than an unproven. He just won the game. As bad as he was.
He didn't win the game. He threw for 112 yards.
Yeah.
One pick and one touchdown.
One touchdown.
They didn't win the game. Bijan Robinson's 125 won the game.
How much did they win by?
They won by 3 points over a two-win team.
Right. So his one touchdown doesn't count for you. So no. You take that away. So then they lose.
So he's the only guy that had anything to do in that touchdown pass.
Well, apparently Bijan Robinson is the only one that's valuable.
No.
There's two angles to this. I don't know why you had me talk just so you could take note for note to tell me why I was wrong when you already told me why you believe I was wrong. I believe I'm right. You believe you're right. Chances are somewhere in the middle is where it is, as it usually is. And a lot of times I bring up something that makes you really mad. You go home and think about it and you come back and say, hey, I was wrong. This may not be the case. But sometimes you get really mad about stuff just because I have a different take on something. And I completely believe what I'm saying. They gave up on the season. And we'll see what happens. If you're an Atlanta fan, I hope Penix comes out and tears it up. I hope you win the division. Good for you. For a couple reasons. One, because it'll really bother Rob.
Only in that I hate the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly.
I despise them.
I'm not making this up, and I'm not being dumb. At least in my opinion, I'm not. I think my opinion is valid on this, and we'll see. We will see. And the thing is, if they come out and they don't win a game, what did it prove? It proved I was right.
If they don't win a game and they lose three in a row,
that means that they gave up on the season.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
they lost four of the last five. Mm-hmm. If we took the Raider win out, they lost four in a row. Would you say, they gave up on the season?
Yeah, they should have benched them four games ago, but they did not.
Right. You'll also recall, I said that too. I've been calling for this for 4 weeks.
4 weeks I've been saying put Michael Penix in.
4 weeks ago, you're not giving up on the season. This week, you are.
What's the difference?
There's you're one game out. What's the difference?
There's a couple games left in the season. Uh-huh. That's the difference.
But you're one game out. What's the difference?
There's a major difference.
What, you know I'm that. Asking what it is.
Yeah. Anyway.
Now, I'm asking what the difference is. I don't know what the difference is between making the switch here and 4 weeks ago. I'm genuinely curious.
You should know you're an older ball.
That is true. That is true. You're not wrong. Denton Day from SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. We'll talk college football with us next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I look forward to this segment every Wednesday because we are joined by a young man who hosts College Football Overtime on SiriusXM Radio. He has also been kind enough to jump on a weekly time slot with us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not watching us on our live stream, you're missing out on the beautiful face of one Denton Day joining us here on the show. What's up, big fella?
How we doing, fellas? We got playoff football this weekend. Yeah, we survived a nice Army-Navy matchup, and now we got playoff football this weekend.
How about Navy coming out and deciding to lay the smack down one last time before the season concludes? I thought we were going to have a football game. Blake Horvath for retro Heisman.
I mean, I made money off of him. Navy was the side. It felt like, yeah, I mean, the public was all on Army. And you know me, Rob, I'm not with the public. I'm staying away from them. So I made some money on Navy. So I thank them for that.
I love it. All right, real quick, because I asked you this on our live stream, which folks can watch at The Fan Upstate on Facebook or YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. I asked you off the air to weigh in on the debate that Zoe and I are having. Do the Falcons punt on the season by switching quarterbacks, or are they fighting to take this NFC South division back away from Tampa? And you, like the radio professional that you are, said, oh, I'll tell you my answer on the air. You have redirected the interview the way you want to go, and I respect the hell out of that, Denton Day. So the floor is yours.
I don't think they're punting on the season, but I do question the timing of this decision. Like, if you're going to make this decision, nothing that took place on Monday night against Las Vegas was new. Like, you've seen some bad Kirk performances, and you kind of had the idea, you know, he's coming off that big injury, the Achilles injury. He's also getting old. I mean, we love Kirk here. At least a small segment of our population still loves Kirk because of the time he spent here. I just question why they make that decision now. I think you had much better opportunities, specifically after that 4-interception game against Los Angeles. If you already loved Penix, which they clearly do, every report that's come out throughout the entire year about Penix in practice has been positive. So if you loved him, when you watch your quarterback throw 4 picks, I felt like that was the time to make that decision. So I question the timing of the decision, but if you really think that Penix is going to help you win and you want to make one final charge, it's very clear that Kirk is having a tough year this year. So you got to take that chance.
Yeah, it's Morris's last stand is what it is, right? It's Morris's last stand. Why bench him now? Because he's 1-4 with 1 touchdown and 9 interceptions in the last 5 games. That's why. Like, I don't know. You don't have to go any deeper than that.
They should have done it earlier, though. They shouldn't have let him get to that point.
I don't disagree with that either. I said 4 weeks ago after that game, this is when you make the switch, and I got laughed off the radio for it, but here we are. All right, let's get some college football. Here's the most shocking thing I want to get to, Denton Day, and we won't spend a ton of time on this, but I did want to bring it up. According to @collegefootballnerds on Twitter, ticket prices for first-round playoff games, which are happening this Friday through Saturday, you can buy a ticket right now to go see Indiana-Notre Dame for $390 getting in the door price. But stick with me here because it doesn't get better. To get in to go see Tennessee at Ohio State, it's $129. To get in to see Clemson at Texas, it's $108. To get in to see SMU at Penn State, Denton Day, in the door, it's 500 level. You're up top, but in the door, $60. Dollars. I don't want to hear another word about how much we want to see the SEC fans come play in the snow. Y'all don't even want to go out in the damn snow. Stop it.
I love those ticket prices. I do, you know, I don't know if anybody thought this through or if they just decided they didn't want to care about this, but the students are all on break. So hosting the playoffs when the students are all on break. Now, I think Penn State's not a great example because a lot of their fan base is just local. You know, they really dominate the state of Pennsylvania, and you should be traveling to go watch the playoff game regardless of where you live in the state. But this is a really good example of how maybe doing this in late December. Great for us, the consumers that aren't going to these games. But if you're a student and you live four states away, it's going to be kind of tough to get back there for games. So I don't think they thought that one through. A list of it joins a list of many things that the powers that be, who we don't really know, but the powers that be who did not think things through.
It is interesting in the dates. For the record, it's kind of one of those things that you go, I didn't think it through. Yeah, but also what other options do we have? Do we put the playoff games until January 6th and then have a championship game that's going to be around the same time as the Super Bowl? I don't think that was on the option. Sometimes, Denton Day, you just got to work with what you got to work with. And I don't know how much better they could have scheduled this.
Well, so I was with you in that, and then I was listening to Liberty's coach, my alma mater, Jamie Chadwell, speak yesterday. Somebody asked him about some of the transfer portal stuff, and he did mention that you could start the season earlier. Now, that comes with another line of problems, because depending on where you play, just regionally, it's hot as hell in August in certain areas. So, like, there are some places where you legitimately cannot start earlier. But he kind of brought up a point where, like, if you play conference championships by Thanksgiving weekend, where we traditionally play rivalry weekend, then you can do the playoffs a week after that, and you don't have to run into the scenario of where guys are leaving programs because they have to enroll by a certain date to join a new program. I would say the solution to that is that there should be some sort of waiver that allows students to still play in the games of the team that they played on in 2024 before they join the team that they are going to be a member of in 2025. Maybe they can and they just decide not to, but I don't know. The calendar for college football is a very tough thing because they're still students. Wink, wink.
Yeah, Lonzo just smiled almost enough that it went from ear to ear. I don't know all of them, Denton Day, and I think this is kind of one of the interesting things is that there's so much fog and opacity around the rules as written for the transfer portal. I believe that there are exceptions that guys can go in the portal but still stay with the team. In fact, I know there are because Devin Brown did it for Ohio State. But I think it's got to kind of be agreed by a lot in the paperwork and all. I don't know how the hell all of that works. Here's the thing. The transfer portal isn't like the college football playoffs. Isn't like games where this is a hard date. We got to be doing this here. The portal, you could wake up tomorrow and go, okay, now the portal opens January 21st, the day after we hand out a trophy. But all the rights remain the same for college football players. And we'll move the second portal window back another month and we'll make it longer to make up. It's so easy to fix that part without having to worry about the games.
What do you do for classes? Because again, they're like, you have to get into where you can enroll in the new school and start that semester. That's the problem. I mean, I know, and we know there are a lot of football players across the country that don't step foot in a classroom the entire season. They're doing online stuff, whatever. But because you have to pretend like you actually care about the student element of the student athletes, you got to put that window to where they can jump in for the spring semester and then be a part of that new school rather than just, twiddling your fingers for 3 weeks at your old school before you say, hey, I'm not going to be here, so I'm just kind of done with classes.
Denton Day, a very famous man, once said, we ain't come here to play school.
Cardell Jones said it. I should get it tattooed on me. We ain't come here to play school.
All right, let's get some of these first round games out of the way. And obviously the one we got to start on is the one that the folks around here are all kind of jazzed up about. Number 12, Clemson on the road to Texas. They are the biggest underdog of the opening round. That line started at 11.5. It has moved to 12. And I wouldn't be shocked to see it move to maybe 12.5 by kickoff. There seems to be, Denton Day, nobody in the sports talkosphere that is giving Clemson much of a chance to pull the money line upset. If I asked you not to say if you do or don't, but instead to say in the ideal world for Dabo Swinney, what does he do to win this game? What's your answer?
I think it's a lot on Kate Klubnik. I mean, he has to go out there. There's a point in time this season where Clemson fans were saying, Kate Klubnik should be in the Heisman conversation. Now, they weren't playing anybody, but he was putting up really good numbers offensively. It has to be that. You got to be able to put the trust in your quarterback and said, if we have to win in a track meet, we got to win in a track meet. Now, the good thing is, I don't think Texas can win in a track meet. There's nothing that they've shown me offensively this year that leads me to believe they're winning by 13 points. You know, this is the most fascinating game, Rob, because of that spread. I don't necessarily love Clemson, but I really don't love Texas. I would not have given Texas a home game. I did not like the way they finished the season. I certainly didn't like the way they played against Georgia in the SEC championship game. I know Quinn Ewers had a lot of hype coming into the season, but what has he done this year? The answer is not a lot. And if he stays in college, which seems like it's a much more realistic possibility than it was a couple months ago, if he stays in college, he's not playing at Texas anymore. He's going to end up in the Big Ten at like maybe Michigan State or something like that, which is not a great place to play, going from Texas to Michigan State. Like, you're going down the ladder. So I don't really love Texas. Honestly, I think I like the under in this particular matchup because I don't really think that Texas is a team that's going to blow Clemson out. And I do think Clemson has the ability to keep this close. And I mean, 51.5, that's a massive number. I haven't seen Texas put up the amount of offense necessary to make me think that they are either going to cover that spread or go massively over that number.
Let's talk about the game that I think is, and I'm not saying I'm quite ready to jump on it and pick it. I'm saying right now, I think there could be an upset brewing, and that is Tennessee going on the road up to the Ohio State University in Columbus. The Volunteer fans are apparently snatching up tickets as soon as they hit the secondary market. I've seen some people projecting it could be as much as a 40% Tennessee crowd up in Columbus. On top of that, listen, I know what Dylan Gabriel at Oregon was. I think he's a fine player. I think Nico is the most dynamic, explosive, and dangerous quarterback that Ohio State will play this year unless they move deeper into the playoffs. I think that the upset's very much in play for Ohio State as much as anybody else in the opening round.
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
No, if you want to feed me SMU over Penn State, we can eat together at the table. I don't know that Tennessee – I think Tennessee is going to be in for a very rude awakening when they get outside of the locker room. I don't know if they're used to playing in the cold. And, you know, I like Nico, but I don't know that he's going to be – this is a big moment. Like, this is a really big moment, and he's young. I don't know that he's going to be ready for this kind of moment. This – I kind of look at this, Rob, as like maybe a less extreme example, but we talked some NFL to start this segment, so I'll use an NFL comparison here. This does strike me as something very, very similar to whenever the Miami Dolphins play outside in the month of November or December. I just don't think that Tennessee is going to be ready for that cold. And Ryan Day is desperate. You can't fake desperation. He knows he has to win this one. I don't see Tennessee pulling.
But wasn't he desperate going into the Michigan game?
I don't think so, to be honest. You know, it's crazy because
Lonzo was going to call and fire him himself if he lost that game.
I never said
I would fire him. I said the fans would, other fans.
I think he knew that they weren't going to, though, because he knew, like, there was some sort of comfortability. If it was a four-team playoff, yeah, he would have been done. But I think there was a little bit of comfortability knowing that we're in no matter what, so we can kind of – you obviously don't want to lose to Michigan. That rivalry is as real as it gets. But I don't think he felt as desperate as he does now because he has that loss to Michigan.
By the way, I'm just looking, and it looks like a mix of snow and rain Saturday.
Oh, pray for Tennessee.
With a temperature like at kickoff, it's got snow and rain, temperature around 39. I don't know what the real feel would be, but I'm guessing it would be colder than
that. I'm going to tell you right now. I say this lovingly, Denton. I think you guys are overblowing the weather element here. It ain't exactly a heater in Knoxville, Tennessee, man, and they play up in the cold in the top of the hills. I don't think the weather is as much of an advantage for the Buckeyes as a lot of folks are shaping it up to be.
I think it's going to be a huge factor. I love Knoxville, by the way, and I've been there when it's cold, but I think it's going to be a huge factor. I don't know how much Nico has ever in his career played in like legit cold weather that you might see this weekend.
Who's more likely to pull an upset? Last one, SMU over Penn State, Indiana over Notre Dame.
SMU. SMU's offense is legit. As long as they don't make mistakes, I mean, they would have won the ACC if that first half wasn't filled with mistakes and a couple of iffy penalty calls. But I'll focus more on the SMU mistakes because that's what's within their control. And when you watch the Big Ten championship game, while I thought Penn State offensively looked very, very impressive, defensively, whoa. I mean, this was not the Tom Allen defense that I was anticipating. And I think SMU has a really good opportunity. That is the one underdog, at least by the spread, that I'm definitely on For sure. I think SMU covers that 8.5 pretty comfortably. I think this one is going to come down to the wire. That to me is the best game of the weekend.
I don't disagree at all. Denton Day hosts College Football Overtime on SiriusXM Radio and is kind enough to join us every Wednesday at this time. Denton Day, when we talk about this next week, we'll be in the second round. I got to tell you, I'm feeling tingly already.
I can't wait. I can't wait. This is what we live for.
My man, Denton Day, at the Denton Day on X, brother. Thank you for coming by as always, buddy. Let's do it again next week, pal.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it. Let's make some money this weekend.
Done and done. The legendary Denton Day. Now the legendary Lonzo with a sports flash.
I am not feeling tingly. I don't know what's going on that side.
My loins are tingling.
The South Carolina Gamecocks followed up their 17-14 football victory over Clemson with a 91-88 overtime basketball defeat of the number 25 Tigers last night. Colin Murray Boyles, I couldn't do it two times in a row, put down 22 points and 9 boards, while 4 other starters ended in double-digit points as well. The Gamecocks shot nearly 52% from the floor and out-rebounded the Tigers by 7. The New York Yankees acquired first baseman Cody Bellinger from the Chicago Cubs yesterday as they continue to stock talent in the wake of losing Juan Soto. The 2019 MVP will make $27.5 million next year with a player option for $25 million in 2026. Tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Montreat Cavaliers in wonderful basketball action right here on The Fan Upstate.